This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For you. 833-288-0973. Yes, that's the number for Chris vs. Defense, because that's coming up here shortly, in which you'll have a chance to qualify for our grand prize, a two-night stay at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, and dinner for two. Immerse yourself in timeless elegance at Fontainebleau, Las Vegas, a luxury resort, gaming, and meeting destination. The legacy of Fontainebleau, Las Vegas is built upon more than 70 years of sublime beauty, unparalleled service, and timeless design. Book now at FontainebleauLasVegas.com. You'll also have a chance to win a pair of tickets to the SD Legion's home opener against Rugby FC Los Angeles on Saturday, March 16th. Grab tickets now at SDLegion.com. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matthew Scraby, Chris vs. Defense.
Did he return?
Yes. He did come back. He's in his field. He's in his feels right now, but he is back. I give him credit for showing up.
You know, it's not the part that I lose every time.
Scrape. Can I just tell you something a little bit, man, about myself? I don't know if you know this.
What?
But I've, like, been in sports or connected to it, like, my whole life.
So have I. I've been watching sports my whole life.
No, I don't know that you've been watching it. I know it's been on at your house, but I don't know if you're actually watching it.
Oh, it's been on. It's okay.
You know, maybe your brother and dad and mom were watching it more heavily.
Oh, they were breaking it down.
I mean, I don't know if they were breaking it down. They were watching while you were, you know, being a problem child back in the day.
That's accurate.
So I don't know. There's some of this is just simple. You know, I've paid attention to the sports my whole life. I know the franchises that, ironically, some of them, most of them, aren't that good, but they make a ton of money. That is usually how it works.
Well, 11 of the 15 on that list were in the NFL, if anybody needs any other proof that the NFL dominates.
That was the other theme, right?
NFL and
teams that are big market teams that suck make a lot of money. The other one is football teams, also worth a ton of money. As Chris was going through the list, it was like when you named the Las Vegas Raiders. It's like, why wouldn't you move? I mean, that franchise went up in value, I think, since it moved to Las Vegas. I don't remember it.
Oh, they wouldn't be on the list if they were the Oakland Raiders.
I don't remember them being on the list when
they
were the
Oakland
Raiders.
They're a pretty worldwide brand, though.
Like, it is a worldwide brand, but I'm pretty sure that moving to Vegas has been a boon to the Raiders.
That's why I think the Rams are probably on that list. Just by moving to L.A. gives them a couple bill.
They were on the list.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's my point is, like, so why wouldn't a team want to relocate? I mean, it seems like it's been pretty profitable. Now, obviously, you got to move to the right market and all that stuff. But
it's also a valuation. So, like, when they say the Chargers are worth, like, $4 billion, they're probably worth, like, 32 cents. Come on. We know this.
Chargers are nowhere to be found on that list.
His pot shot right there. He got it off, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, the conspiracy theory is that Jim Harbaugh was paid for by the NFL because the NFL wants Jim Harbaugh in L.A. to turn around the Chargers and make them more popular in L.A. because we all know that the Chargers would never spend a bunch of money on a coach. And so it was a departure from the norm.
Even if that is true, which we know it's not, How does that help the folks here who are upset about the Chargers? Because if that works, they're going to be good.
I see. It's just another feather in the cap that they have a guy who is running a team that doesn't have any money, and so the NFL, mommy and daddy had to come in and give him a little bit of money to sign. Jim Harbaugh.
I'm sure that's how
I think Scraby's an absolute lunatic, but I'd like to believe that he's right about that conspiracy.
All right.
Spanos just would never make that smart of a decision to hire Jim Harbaugh on his own.
Maybe times are changing.
Maybe.
All right.
Chris says on the chat that another valuation adder is owning a stadium or having that a part of your... So,
well, that's probably why the Chargers are nowhere to be on that list, because they certainly can't own their stadium.
No, yeah, that's true.
They are tenants.
They rent.
They're paying.
Yes. Hope they have renter's insurance. All right. Chris versus the fans. Here we go.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The rules, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before we get into it. You'll get that question for free today, and I have fully replenished the questions.
Sorry, I just took a bite of a donut. I couldn't get the player out of my mouth.
What kind of donut?
An apple-filled donut.
Okay. An apple fritter? Is that what it's called?
No, not a fritter. It's like a regular donut with some apple
fritter. Fritter.
Can anyone tell me why a bear claw is shaped as like a bear claw? Like, I understand like that it needs to be.
Because they want to call it a bear claw.
Okay. Asked and answered.
If it's not shaped as a bear claw, they can't call it that.
You're right. Okay. Stupid question, Scraby. What are you doing?
Man. All right, here we go. First contestant, Andrew. Welcome to the show, my man.
Andrew.
Happy Tuesday.
There we go.
Howdy do, Andrew.
Here we go. First question. What golf league does the traitor John Rahm play for?
Say again. Sorry, I didn't hear.
What golf league does John Rahm play for?
The traitor.
Live.
Nice job.
Just in time. Just on in the time. Question number two. Who was the last Pirates MVP?
Pirate MVP. Barry Bonds.
Oh, wow.
Barry Bonds.
Stay there.
I'm going to go with Kutch.
Andrew
McCutcheon.
Sorry about that, Andrew.
Sorry, Andrew.
It was after.
Sorry, Andrew. Andrew got you on that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
McCutcheon.
Let's move to our next contestant, Ross. Come on down.
How you doing, guys?
Oh, pretty good.
Hey, Ross.
Doing well, Ross. Here we go. First question. Who is the head coach of the Raiders?
God. I'm going to love on number one. Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels.
He wishes he was still the head coach.
He does. He really does wish he was still the coach.
Has he been picked up by anybody yet?
No, absolutely. Well, he's also like making a bunch of money for the next 4 years, so I don't think he's going to work.
I believe the guy's name is Pierce, but I don't want to mess it up by blowing his first name, so I'm just going with Mr. Pierce. That's acceptable.
That's acceptable. Last name. It was the first
Antonio
name
Pierce.
They got you.
Sorry, Ross. Antonio Pierce.
Antonio is correct, yes. By the way. Okay. He just gave us the full name.
He did.
And yes. All right. Contestant number three, Peter. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thank you, guys. Love your show, and go Aztecs.
Thank you.
I appreciate the love. Go Aztecs. First question. What team did the NFL's Austin Eckler sign with yesterday?
No idea, so I'm just going to say the Chargers.
The Chargers. No.
Sorry, Peter.
Hello. For the steal.
This did not get a lot of attention.
It didn't
really
get any attention.
For a guy that was such a great player just a couple years ago, but he went to the Commanders.
You have
one of the U.S.'s most...
Sorry, Peter.
Valued franchise.
Yeah. Yes, the Commanders.
Scraby slucked up on that one.
Yes, thank you.
Our next contestant, right?
Yes.
Yes, James. Welcome to the show.
Cruising through these questions.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, James?
Here we go. First question. What beer is known as the king of beers?
Budweiser, the king of beers.
There you go.
Oh, man, I used to love drinking Budweiser back in the day because it was cool, you know? You just drink it out of the bottle. It's good stuff.
Now, you know, I'm going to leave my comments to myself.
Here we go. It's never been cool.
Question number two. Who was the last major league pitcher to win back-to-back Cy Youngs?
Back-to-back. Justin Verlander.
The Ver. Stay there.
That's a tough one, but I think it was recently, and I think it was Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom, little G. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Sorry about that, James.
It's now
he had a
G.
total of about 19 wins in the 2 years combined.
It's actually little D, not little G.
Little big D, G. Yeah.
Little G, big D.
What the heck? Yeah.
Little D,
about?
Big G. His name, DeGrom, he spells it with little D.
Yes, yes.
And then a big G.
Correct, and I spelled it wrong.
That's right.
Chris, what are you moving around against?
Sound like he's scratching a lotto ticket or something.
Yeah, it does sound like you're scratching a lotto ticket. All right.
Sorry, I'm not.
No, okay. I just want to make sure you're okay.
Question. Yeah, right. You want to make sure he was okay.
Yes.
You're such a liar.
That's the truth.
Such a liar.
I also wanted to make sure that he stopped that, whatever
that's
it was.
Let's be real. That's exactly why you asked me that.
That is true. That is true.
All right. Question. Next contestant. David, welcome to the show.
What's up? How's it going?
Pretty good.
It's going well, David. First question. The last of the first questions.
I know. What the heck?
Mac Jones plays for what NFL team?
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Ooh,
trick question.
Someone's paying attention.
There you go.
Nice job.
Question number two. Trevor Hoffman had the most saves against what team?
Let's go with the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
Good answer. Good answer.
Wow.
Those losers can't even get the $5 billion.
Isn't that something? I mean, the team you love to hate most.
Just burning me in every sort of way of life.
Well, the team that you love to hate most in terms of Padre fans is the Dodgers. And one of your favorite Padres ever used to dominate them. Had the most saves against them. All right, here we go. Question number three. First time we've been to a three, I think.
I think it is, too.
It's a great question right here. Some work went into these. What pitchers...
Well, just ask the one. The second one is just for reference.
Okay. What pitcher has won the most games since 2000?
Clayton Kershaw?
Clayton Kershaw.
Stay there.
Since what year?
2000. 24 years ago.
The last 24 years? Justin Verlander.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
It is indeed Justin Verlander.
Sorry about that, David. CC, so bad. 257 wins. That's pretty crazy. CC Sabathia, 251.
We don't have a question number one there, Scrip.
Let's just make it up.
Let's just make it up.
All right. Okay, Cesar's on the
phone. Don't we make them all up, pretty much?
Yes, we
yeah,
do.
That's very true.
Yes, we do.
Cesar, are you there?
Oh, Cesar.
Yes, I am. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. Here we go.
Wouldn't
question
be
number
if Chris
one.
Missed some of these.
Oh, stop it, Scraby. Why is
stop
it?
Stop your
you
whining,
so
Scraby.
God.
We got Napoleon.
The question is.
Oh, you're looking at me for the question.
No, I'm not. The question is, before Petco Park, there was Qualcomm. Before Qualcomm, there was. What was the name of the stadium?
Wow, that's a tough number one.
There was Lane Field.
Tony? Stay there.
That is incorrect. The answer...
Wait, Chris has to go.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry.
I don't know. San Diego Stadium?
Debbie, do I need to ask the question again? Did you understand the question, Scraby? Was that a bad question?
No, I think... Did Chris get it right?
No, he did not.
Cesar's still alive.
It's good for the caller.
Yes.
Well, what was
the
it?
Answer? Was Jack Murphy?
Oh, a trick question.
Petco, Qualcomm,
got me.
Jack That's Murphy
on the fly. That is fantastic.
I'm a cold question asker.
You
I guess.
Are. Jeez, that was pretty good.
You kind of tricked me.
All right, so let's move to question number two, which we have some of. Only two MLB players in Major League history have hit 50 home runs in four consecutive seasons. Name them both. 50 in four consecutive.
Ken Griffey Jr. and Mark McGwire.
Stay there.
Hello. 50 or more in four consecutive years.
I thought his two guesses were both good, but I'm not going to guess either of them. I'm going to say Sammy Sosa and Barry Bonds.
Wow!
You guys should have combined your answers. Yeah. The answer is Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
Yep.
But, it was?
Yes. However, David, you move on.
Cesar.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Cesar, you move on.
All right, good,
question
Cesar. One more.
Number three.
Whoops, that's the
only one. That's not what we're looking for there, buddy. That's not what we're looking for there, buddy.
It's this one.
I think this very well could be the last one, too. You know what I mean after I asked a question. Who was the last player to retire with at least 3,000 hits and 500 home runs?
Miguel Cabrera.
Nice
job.
Wow.
Nice job.
Cesar.
Stay right there.
Sweet
and
job.
That's what I meant by this is probably the last one. Like, I don't know that we'll see another 3,500.
Oh.
At least in my lifetime.
Albert Pujols didn't even do that, huh?
He retired before Miguel Cabrera.
Yeah, there we go. That's why.
Yeah. So he would have been the answer before Miguel Cabrera died.
That was good.
He didn't die. He retired
before he retired. I promise, Miguel. I'm not trying to put you in your grave, man.
Oh, that's usually reserved for me.
nice work, Cesar. We'll get your information at the end of this. We'll get it while we go to this next break. Here's some traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, following a rollicking round of Chris versus the fans today, we welcome you back to Gwen and Chris. Cesar, coming up with the big one on question number three there. Nice job, Cesar. Miguel Cabrera on the 500 home run, 3,000 hit list. So Cesar earns himself a shot to come here to Las Vegas. That's where I am. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Peoria. Matt Scraby in the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. As we get back underway here, Gwynn and Chris, there was a crazy happening at the Mountain West Conference women's basketball tournament the other night, guys.
I'm about to talk about that.
Oh, is that in the Big Five?
It is, and I have the video. Sorry.
Okay.
What?
All right, we'll hold off on that.
Yeah. Kind of
it
crazy.
It was kind of interesting. I did not see it live. I had already gone back to the hotel. But if you didn't see what I'm talking about, make sure you stay tuned for the Big Five, because Scraby will have that shortly.
Did the Aztecs beat them? I can't remember.
No.
Okay.
No, the Aztecs did not play them.
All right.
We played in the game before theirs. So.
Okay.
But that was definitely an interesting story that I think you'll find to be interesting. NFL news, Deontay Johnson, right? Signs with who, Scrib? The Panthers?
He's traded to the Panthers.
Yeah, traded.
Oh, traded to the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That tells me the Steelers really just didn't want any more of that guy.
That's
Why would
true.
You do that?
Yeah.
Reminds me of the time that the great receiver John Jefferson, the Chargers John Jefferson, way back in the Fouts days. And Jefferson used to come in every year and ask for a new contract. And every year they'd give him one. And then one year they said, all right, but that's it, JJ, no more. But, of course, the next year he came in again and asked for a new contract. And
he gone.
So the then owner, Gene Klein, told his general manager, I don't care what you do. I don't care what we get back. Trade him to Green Bay. Send him packing to Green Bay. And they did. That's where John Jefferson ended his career.
That's kind of cold. No pun intended.
The owner didn't mind doing it.
No, he was like, I'm tired of renegotiating your contract. Panthers traded for Deontay Johnson. Steelers get back Dante Jackson and a sixth-round pick in exchange for Johnson. So the Steelers had to give up a seventh in order to move him as well.
They had to give more just to get him out of there. By the way, Tony, since you have we didn't get to talk about this yesterday, you and I together, because we were on at different times. Russell Wilson, your guy, goes to join our guy, Mike Tomlin, in Pittsburgh with the Steelers.
Yes.
And, of course, I'm going to root against Russell Wilson, but I do find it a little more difficult to root against him now because I think he's with a great coach, and it'll be interesting to see how that works.
First of all, I have to say it is baffling that you are going out of your way to hate on Russell Wilson, who has done nothing but have one bad season in Denver. I don't know what I don't know. I don't get it. But secondly, okay. I don't know how you're going to root against him when your favorite and my favorite is his head coach in Mike Tomlin.
I know. I called this off.
I called this with you guys.
You did.
When we were talking about this, when the season ended, I said there was nothing more I wanted to see than Russell Wilson leave Denver and go to Pittsburgh because they need a quarterback. They don't necessarily, and he doesn't have to be the Russell Wilson of Seahawk days. He's got a defense there in Pittsburgh. They also signed Patrick Queen, the Ravens middle linebacker. I like what the Steelers have done here so far. So we'll see.
Well, the only thing that Russell Wilson has to be concerned with is that some miraculous way the Steelers were actually in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't make the playoffs, then the heat is going to be on him immediately in Pittsburgh, where they love their football.
Yeah, no, they don't mess around there. They don't mess around there.
Yeah, they're one of the richest franchises.
They just had 2 years of Kenny Pickett, though, so I think they'll be all right. I'm pretty positive.
2 years of Kenny Pickett.
He's got small hands. They should have known that when they drafted
him. They should have. We talked about his small hands, and then, you know, we were making fun that it was an actual conversation at the time, but maybe there's something to it.
I think there is. What do you think, Chris? Small hands?
I just want to answer my dislike for Russell Wilson and say that I perceive him to be a diva, and I don't like divas. Mm. That's my reasoning, Tony Gwynn Jr.
I actually, you know how I feel about Russell Wilson, but I feel like he's handled this thing perfect because
he has not
said one bad thing about the Broncos. He even did that interview and said, "I want to win with the Broncos," putting them in a bad spot. So I think he's actually handled this pretty well.
Yes,
unfortunately.
Yes,
I'm glad you're happy with him, Scrabe.
I hope he. Oh my gosh, I hope. I really hope. I'm gonna be on Chris as much as I'm on you, Scraby, next year. If Russell Wilson is having Steeler type of year.
I know.
I listened to
I'm
that.
I'm throwing myself out there. I'm putting myself out on the line.
I listened to that ESPN podcast that breaks down all these moves, and they were saying that Russell Wilson does not need to throw the ball a ton because they are going to run the ball.
They got great running backs there too,
and so it's going to open it up for him, but. I, too, would like to see what's going to happen here.
This will be, you know, in terms of the last thing on Russell Wilson, I think this will be a reminder that, hey, this is kind of how you won in Seattle. You ran the ball. You play action. You know, grass isn't always green on the other side when you got to throw it 40, 45 times a game. It doesn't always work out for you.
Scraby, I wanted to ask you one last question. In your deep hardest of heart, are you rooting for or against Russell Wilson next year?
He doesn't want to be alone.
No, I am rooting for Russell Wilson because despise Sean Payton. I despise him. And he, because of his thing with the 49ers, and then they made this kids movie, like glorifying that he tried to kill one of the 49ers players. But I just think they did him dirty, and I want to see a guy get
dirty.
Back at it. It's revenge. Anytime there's a revenge factor, I'm for the revenge.
I hope Denver's on the schedule, too, so they get their head booked.
I don't know.
Oh, that's a good
thing
to look up. All right, we'll check that out. We'll come back. We'll take a quick timeout. When we return, Big Five is ahead, and it includes, as I said a moment ago, a wacky story in the Mountain West. More Gwynn and Chris on the way.
8 on the clock, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello, Matt Scraby. Got a little piece of, I don't know if it's breaking news. I think we've kind of come to the conclusion that it was going to be this. And Mike Schilt has basically confirmed this. Mike Schilt confirmed that Jackson Merrill will be a part of the Padres traveling party tomorrow going to Korea. And this was his quote. This is very Mike Schilt, I think, too. We're going to learn as the season goes along. He's earned his way on the plane. He's earned what's coming after the plane. He's done a great job. Couldn't be happier for him. I assume after the plane means starting in center field is what I assume that to be. But Jackson Merrill has indeed earned his spot on the roster here for now, at least for the opening day.
Yeah, well, 2-run homer today off Zach Gallen. Probably didn't hurt his cause any, Tony.
Not at all.
And that game, by the way, has gone final. For those of you who bet tie in the spring training game, you got it. Diamondbacks 2, Padres 2. Final score today from Peoria.
Well, all right.
There you go. Second tie of the spring for the Padres.
I was just getting ready to say a second tie for the Padres. They had stayed clear of them until, last week, I think it was. All right. So, Scraby's got a Big Five. I'm anxious to hear about what happened in the Mountain West Conference tournament on the women's side. That's in this Big Five. So, without further ado, let's get some traffic and then that very same Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, here we get into it, and I'm going to go quick.
Number five.
Get to that Utah State story. But the first one is going to be about Jaden Ledee, and he's starting to rack up the awards for the regular season and was the Mountain West media selection for Conference Player of the Year, but he did not win the coaches' vote for Conference Player of the Year. Haters gonna hate, as Tony said. We talked about that earlier in the show around 220 or so. If you want to go listen to that conversation, go back to 220. But what we didn't talk about, Tony, was Jaden Ledee and his NBA stock. So how much do you think he raised his NBA stock with this season's performance?
I mean, I'm sure he's raised it a little bit, but I think as it pertains to the NBA, you know, they value youth. And not that Jaden Ledee is old. He's, what, 25, 24? That is rather old from NBA standards,
yeah,
right? If you're
going
to be spending a draft pick on it. And so I think he'll get an opportunity to play. Don't think he'll necessarily get drafted, but I think, you know, just the circumstances, you know, the way they've played out have probably hurt his draft status in terms of overall, but I think from last year to this year, I don't think there's any doubt he's raised it.
Chris, what do you think? How much do you think he's improved his NBA draft stock, Jaden Ledee?
Yeah, I'm not good on whether or not he'll get, you know, where or if he'll get drafted, because I've heard the same things that Tony talked about. His age could work against him in the draft, but I think this year has helped him immensely. You know, we saw him last year. I think all of us knew he was a physical force. But I don't think any of us thought he was a 2010 guy. And I mean, a 2010 guy on a nightly basis who could honestly dominate games and would consistently do it all year long. I mean, he did it from day one right through to game 31. So, yeah, I think that had to impress the people in the NBA. The scouts, they know, they probably were aware of his size and, you know, his build. But the fact that he, you know, picked up an outside jump shot that was pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Made his free throws. Improved on defense. That's right. I think all of that will help him quite a bit, you know. But I agree with Tony. I don't know where, if he'll get drafted because of the age thing.
All right. Poor age thing. He's going to be 25 in July, so.
I know. Feel terrible for him.
I do, too.
Number four.
The Utah State women's basketball coach, Kayla Ard, entered Sunday as the head coach. Then after being defeated by Boise State in the Mountain West tournament, she was delivered a message, and here she is post-game talking about what happened.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State, and I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Coach.
Awkward. So that's what happened. She was informed right before her presser that she was going to be removed as the head coach of Utah State. Now,
I don't know if you heard the end of that, Scraby. Her final thing she said was, I assume that's going to be the last question.
Yes, I did hear that.
That was kind of
fired is a whole bunch of other questions. So she kind of walked out before she had to answer all of those questions. So, Chris, do you think this is a bad look by delivering the news this way?
It was embarrassing, honestly.
Really?
In my feeling. Yeah, I think this is really, you know, I don't like to throw out this term chicken bleep very often. But I think that's what kind
of
move
this
was. Yeah, I really think this was that kind of move. I mean, she had a tough year. There's no question about that. They got blown out in the first round of the tournament. And, you know, they lost a lot of players to the transfer portal. One of them is the leading scorer for the Aztecs. She came from Utah State.
Oh, wow.
She had some good players there. They got away in the transfer portal. Utah State didn't have a whole lot to offer to bring kids in to replace the ones they lost. But, you know, I've said this a thousand different ways in a lot of different sports. The kids at Vanderbilt, they work just as hard as the football players at Alabama. And I want to say the same thing. The kids at Utah State, they work just as hard as the kids at UNLV. And that means the coaches, too. They put a lot of work into these games. A lot of time, a lot of effort. And when you lose a game like that, it hurts, even though you're expected to lose. And for an athletic director to come up to you after the game and basically fire you right there on the spot before you even go to your press conference, that's a terrible look.
Wait, so you're saying,
and
okay,
I
right.
think it's...
Hold on, you're saying that Utah State administrators are to blame for the bad look?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the coach.
Oh, okay, all right. All
oh,
right.
No, I'm blaming Utah State for an
gotcha.
awful way to handle this situation. This just is totally there's no need for it. Could have definitely fired her at night at the hotel later than in the next morning. It wouldn't have changed anything.
True.
It was a classless move. Classless.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think this was a bad look for the university?
Yeah, it was a bad look. I mean, as Chris said, they certainly could have waited till after the press conference to fire. I mean, they certainly were within their right. I mean, in four seasons there, Kayla Arc was 31-94. And so, you know, I don't know that warrants an opportunity to coach next year. But it does warrant an opportunity to finish the press conference before you drop that kind of news on it. And not for that sake, but for the sake of you, and you send your coach up there, who was your coach, your former coach, I guess, at that point, without the media knowing, a question like the one that they ended on could end up coming out. Well, what are you going to do about rebuilding? And so now...
Yeah, how is she supposed to answer that?
It's because of that, because they sent her out there and that question was asked, now Utah State looks bad. Because she has to break the news to the media at that point. And it's like, and now the questions persist. Why didn't you just wait till after? Why did you have her go up there at all if that was the case? Right? She's no longer an employee at that point.
Yeah, that is true. That is the interesting part. Because she could have said anything.
Why have her go up there? You know? So, you know, I think Chris is right on this one. Like, there's no doubt this was done in poor taste.
Number three.
All right. And fun topics of conversation.
Excuse me. By the way, I messed that up. She was 24-90 as a Utah State head coach.
So it didn't get better.
She was at Denver, and it looks like she coached 11 games there, and she was 7-4.
All right.
Well, so that's where the 30-94 came from.
It's not a good record. It's not. But she shouldn't have been fired that way. All right. So the flight to Korea for the Padres is going to be 14 hours. Tony will be on that plane. Sammy Lev caught up with Jurickson Profar earlier today. Jurickson Profar. Well, let me just let Sammy ask.
And let's start with this 14-15 hour flight coming up to Korea. Well, what does Jurickson Profar do on a flight that long?
Me and Manny were talking already. We're just gonna game. You know?
Game on what?
On laptop.
Okay.
Game and laptop, yes.
How does that usually work? You got controllers for that? Yeah, what do you play?
Controllers. we talk about we're going to play FIFA, so soccer.
When you guys play FIFA, what team is Manny? What team are you?
I don't know, but I'm going to be Real Madrid. I don't know which team.
So there you go. Now we found the answer, Tony. It's a laptop that they play on.
Yeah, you know, as long as it's big enough, I guess it works as a TV, can do the same thing. As long as the controllers are the same, I guess it can work.
Yeah, that does actually, that sounds kind of fun, I got to say. I like how Sammy was like, well, what do you play it on? I'm like, huh?
Anyway. No, all in his biz.
Sammy wouldn't let him off the hook there.
He's like, tell me, Jurickson. Chris, what is your... Well, okay, so I know that you fly a lot, and you fly a lot domestically, but what would you do on a 14-hour trip? What's your game plan? And then we'll ask Tony, because he's actually doing this tomorrow.
I'm going to tell you what my game plan is, because I've flown these 14-hour flights before with my wife. My number one go-to thing to do is complain.
About what?
I can see that.
About how long the stupid flight is and how I have nothing to do and I have nowhere to go and I'm hungry and my legs are cramped. That's what I do on flights of that length, Scrabe. I complain. I become almost impossible
hours?
To live with.
Oh,
huh?
Man.
For 14 hours you complain?
No, the first couple I'm usually all right, but the last 12 I complain.
Wow.
Ask my wife.
Yeah. I believe her, or believe
we
you.
Won't,
I don't need
we
to ask
won't
her.
Be going anywhere with Chris, that's for sure.
No.
That's
no.
right.
Tony, what are you going to do on this 14-hour trip?
You know, normally I sleep. so that I don't complain and think about. But my wife is going to be on me, so I know unless she sleep, I won't be allowed to sleep. So probably some binge watching of something.
Any shows in mind?
I got a few. You know, the Law and Orders, all of them.
Mm. The new
SVU, organized crime.
Oh,
regular Law and Order. Chicago PD, FBI. I'm in love watching all of them joints.
You'll have time to watch every single one of them.
Yes, I will.
Tom.
I purposely left episodes unwatched so that I can get through this trip. Occasionally there'll be a game on that I'll tap into. I'm going to pass the time somehow, somewhere. I'm not going to complain.
You, your wife likes scary movies, so you should watch
Absolutely
together.
Not. No.
It's not too much of a scary movie, but it's called I See You. And have you ever heard of frogging?
I feel like I have.
Frogging is when someone lives in your house without you knowing. And so this movie is about that. And I think you should.
Oh, Lord.
I think
that
you should do it.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Don't let your wife watch that movie, Tony. Do not let her watch that movie. It's not a good thing to put in the minds of wives.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, Chris. Yeah, I'm not letting her watch it.
So there's plenty of videos of real people that have been, like, come downstairs, their food's eaten, they're like, what the heck? They put up a camera, it's someone that lives in their attic.
Number two.
All right. With that said, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s shortlist to be his running mate on an independent presidential ticket in November, the New York Times reported today. Kennedy confirmed to the newspaper that Rodgers and former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura are under consideration. Rodgers has been talking with Kennedy pretty continuously for the past month, according to Kennedy. It's unclear if either of them has been formally offered the position, though the Times said that both have welcomed the overtures, end quote. Tony, would you be interested in what Aaron Rodgers has to say as a running mate?
No, I wouldn't. I'm more interested in the angle of, like, this is what the Jets signed up for. Like, this is this not another distraction? Right?
Total distraction.
They had to be distracted while, you know, you teased coming back with an insane Achilles injury, and all of a sudden you were, like, talking about playing.
I'm good.
Then they fell out. You said, I'm straight, which was probably the smart decision. I don't think there's any question about it. But now, and listen, I know Aaron hasn't confirmed this, so he may not have anything to do with it. However, they will be talking, if it is indeed true, they will be talking about that all season long.
Yeah.
Seems like a bit of a distraction. I don't know. What do you think?
I definitely think it's a distraction. Hey, what do you think about your starting quarterback running for vice president of the United States? I don't know. I think it's weird. Chris, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to him having to miss a Monday night game because he's got to do the vice presidential national debate.
That would be hilarious. I will give it to him. He'll probably debate pretty well if he does do that.
I have no doubt that he would handle himself accordingly.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested in it.
Number one.
A former employee of the Jacksonville Jaguars has been sentenced after embezzling $22 million from the team while working with the team from 2018 to 2023. Amit Patel has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison and must pay more than $21 million in restitution.
How is he going to pay that?
He's never going to pay that.
Well, he stole $22 million, Tony, so
yes,
he's plus one at the end.
Don't give that guy a head start. He had pled guilty in court to felony charges of wire fraud and illegal monetary transactions. Prosecutors had recommended a 7-year sentence. Chris, does the punishment fit the crime?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he needs more. I get tired of white collar criminals being treated much more softly than quote blue collar criminals.
Yeah.
And I could go more into that, but we're up at the top of the hour. I think white-collar criminals get away with a lot more in general.
I agree.
That sounds like a crime. You $22 million?
All right.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Gotta cut you off, Chris. 5 o'clock on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, here we get into it, and I'm going to go quick.
Number five.
Get to that Utah State story. But the first one is going to be about Jaden Ledee, and he's starting to rack up the awards for the regular season and was the Mountain West media selection for Conference Player of the Year, but he did not win the coaches' vote for Conference Player of the Year. Haters going to hate, as Tony said. We talked about that earlier in the show, around 220 or so. If you want to go listen to that conversation, go back to 220. But what we didn't talk about, Tony, was Jaden Ledee and his NBA stock. So how much do you think he raised his NBA stock with this season's performance?
I mean, I'm sure he's raised it a little bit, but I think as it pertains to the NBA, you know, they value youth. And not that Jaden Ledee is old. He's, what, 25, 24? That is rather old from NBA standards, yeah, right? If you're going to be spending a draft pick on it. And so I think he'll get an opportunity to play. Don't think he'll necessarily get drafted, but I think, you know, just the circumstances, you know, the way they've played out have probably hurt his draft status in terms of overall, but I think from last year to this year, I don't think there's any doubt he's raised it.
Chris, what do you think? How much do you think he's improved his NBA draft stock, Jaden Ledee?
Yeah, I'm not good on whether or not where or if he'll get drafted, because I've heard the same things that Tony talked about. His age could work against him in the draft, but I think this year has helped him immensely. You know, we saw him last year. I think all of us knew he was a physical force, but I don't think any of us thought he was a 2010 guy. And I mean, a 2010 guy on a nightly basis who could honestly dominate games and would consistently do it all year long. I mean, he did it from day one right through to game 31. So, yeah, I think that had to impress the people in the NBA. The scouts, they know, they probably were aware of his size and, you know, his build. But the fact that he, you know, picked up an outside jump shot that was pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Made his free throws.
Little 15-footer.
Improved on defense. That's right. I think all of that will help him quite a bit, you know. But I agree with Tony. I don't know if he'll get drafted because of the age thing.
All right. Poor age thing. He's going to be 25 in July, so.
I know. Feel terrible for him.
I do, too.
Number four.
The Utah State women's basketball coach, Kayla Ard, entered Sunday as the head coach. Then after being defeated by Boise State in the Mountain West tournament, she was delivered a message. And here she is post-game talking about what happened.
And how do you plan to rebuild for next season?
I'm not going to be rebuilding. I just coached my last game at Utah State, and I spoke with Diana, and they're going in a different direction, and I respect her decision, and I hope they get a really good coach in. I'm assuming that's going to be the last question. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
Awkward. So that's what happened. She was informed right before her presser that she was going to be removed as the head coach of Utah State. Now,
I don't know if you heard the end of that, Scraby. Her final thing she said was, I assume that's going to be the last question.
Yes, I did hear that.
That was kind of
But I feel like you getting fired is a whole bunch of other questions. So she kind of walked out before she had to answer all of those questions. So, Chris, do you think this is a bad look by delivering the news this way?
It was embarrassing, honestly.
Really?
In my feeling. Yeah, I think this is really... You know, I don't like to throw out this term chicken bleep very often, but I think that's what kind
it
of
is
move
your
this
term.
Was. Yeah, I really think this was that kind of move. I mean, she had a tough year. There's no question about that. They got blown out in the first round of the tournament, and, you know, they lost a lot of players to the transfer portal. One of them is the leading scorer for the Aztecs. She came from Utah State.
Oh, wow.
She had some good players there. They got away in the transfer portal. Utah State didn't have a whole lot to offer to bring kids in to replace the ones they lost. But, you know, I've said this a thousand different ways in a lot of different sports. The kids at Vanderbilt, they work just as hard as the football players at Alabama. And I want to say the same thing. The kids at Utah State, they work just as hard as the kids at UNLV. And that means the coaches, too. They put a lot of work into these games, a lot of time, a lot of effort. And when you lose a game like that, it hurts, even though you're expected to lose. And for an athletic director to come up to you after the game and basically fire you right there on the spot before you even go to your press conference, that's a terrible look.
Wait, so you're saying,
and
okay,
I
right.
think it's
hold on. You're saying that Utah State administrators are to blame for the bad look.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not the coach.
Oh, okay. All right. All
oh,
right.
No, I'm blaming Utah State for an
gotcha.
Awful, awful way to handle this situation. It's just, it's totally, there's no need for it. Could have definitely fired her at night at the hotel later than in the next morning. It wouldn't have changed anything.
True.
It was a classless move. Classless.
Tony, what do you think? Do you think this was a bad look for the university?
Yeah, it was a bad look. I mean, as Chris said, they certainly could have waited till after the press conference to fire. I mean, they certainly were within their right. I mean, in four seasons there, Kayla Arc was 31-94. And so, you know, I don't know that that warrants an opportunity to coach next year. But it does warrant an opportunity to finish the press conference before you drop that kind of news on it, and not for that sake, but for the sake of you, and you send your well, appeared to your coach up there, who was your coach, your former coach, I guess, at that point, without the media knowing, a question like the one that they ended on could end up coming out. Well, what are you going to do about rebuilding? And so now,
yeah, how is she supposed to answer that?
It's because of that, because they sent her out there and that question was asked. Now Utah State looks bad. Because she has to break the news to the media at that point. And it's like, and now the questions persist. Why didn't you just wait till after? Why did you have her go up there at all if that was the case? Right? She's no longer an employee at that point.
Yeah, that is true. That is the interesting part. Because she could have said anything.
Why have her go up there? You know? So, you know, I think Chris is right on this one. Like, there's no doubt this was done in poor taste.
Hmm. Number three.
All right, and fun topics of conversation.
Excuse me, by the way, I messed that up. She was 24-90 as a Utah State head coach.
So it didn't get better.
She was at Denver, and it looks like she coached 11 games there, and she was 7-4.
All right.
So
well,
that's where the 30-94 came from.
It's not a good record. It's not. But she shouldn't have been fired that way. All right. So the flight to Korea for the Padres is going to be 14 hours. Tony will be on that plane. Sammy Lev caught up with Jerickson Profar earlier today. Jerickson Profar. Well, let me just let Sammy ask.
And let's start with this 14-15 hour flight coming up to Korea. Well, what does Jerickson Profar do on a flight that long?
Me and Manny were talking already. We're just gonna game.
You know? Game on what?
On laptop.
Okay.
Game and laptop, yes.
How does that usually work? You got controllers for that?
Yeah,
what do you play?
Controllers. we talk about we're going to play FIFA, so soccer.
When you guys play FIFA, what team is Manny? What team are you?
I don't know, but I'm going to be Real Madrid. I don't know which.
So there you go. Now we found the answer, Tony. It's a laptop that they play on.
Yeah, you know, as long as it's big enough, I guess it works as a TV, can do the same thing. As long as the controllers are the same, I guess it can work.
Yeah, that does actually. That sounds kind of fun, I got to say. I like how Sammy was like, well, what do you play it on? I'm like, huh?
Anyway. All in
Sammy
his
biz. Wouldn't let him off the hook there.
Tell me, Jerickson. Chris, what is your... Well, okay, so I know that you fly a lot, and you fly a lot domestically, but what would you do on a 14-hour trip? What's your game plan? And then we'll ask Tony, because he's actually doing this tomorrow.
I'm going to tell you what my game plan is, because I've flown these 14-hour flights before with my wife. My number one go-to thing to do is complain.
About what?
I can see that.
About how long the stupid flight is and how I have nothing to do and I have nowhere to go and I'm hungry and my legs are cramped. That's what I do on flights of that length, Scrabe. I complain. I become almost impossible
hours?
To live with.
Oh, huh? Man.
For 14 hours you complain?
No, the first couple I'm usually all right, but the last 12 I complain.
Wow.
Ask my wife.
Yeah. I believe her, or believe
we
you.
Won't,
I don't need
we
to ask
won't
her.
Be going anywhere with Chris, that's for sure.
No.
That's
no.
right.
Tony, what are you going to do on this 14-hour trip?
You know, normally I sleep so that I don't complain
You're
and think
lucky.
About But my wife is going to be on me, so I know unless she sleep, I won't be allowed to sleep. So probably some binge-watching of something.
Mm. Any shows in mind?
I got a few, you know, the Law and Orders, all of them. Mm.
The new SBI?
SVU, organized crime.
Oh.
Regular Law and Order. Chicago PD, FBI. I'm watching all of them joints.
You'll have time to watch every single
yes,
one of
I
them,
will.
Tom.
I purposely left episodes unwatched so that I can get through this trip. Occasionally there'll be a game on that I'll tap into. I'm going to pass the time somehow, somewhere. I'm not going to complain.
You, your wife likes scary movies, so you should watch
Absolutely
together.
Not. No,
it's not too much of a scary movie, but it's called I See You. And have you ever heard of frogging?
I feel like I have.
Frogging is when someone lives in your house without you knowing, and so this movie is about that. And I think you should.
Lord,
I think you should do it.
That's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Don't let your wife watch that movie, Tony. Do not let her watch that movie. It's not a good thing to put in the minds of wives.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, Chris. Yeah, I'm not letting her watch it.
So there's plenty of videos of real people that have been, like, come downstairs, their food's eaten. They're like, what the heck? They put up a camera. It's someone that lives in their attic.
Number two.
All right. With that said, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s shortlist to be his running mate on an independent presidential ticket in November, the New York Times reported today. Kennedy confirmed to the newspaper that Rodgers and former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler Jesse Ventura are under consideration. Rodgers has been talking with Kennedy pretty continuously for the past month, according to Kennedy. It's unclear if either of them has been formally offered the position, though the Times said that both have welcomed the overtures, end quote. Tony, would you be interested in what Aaron Rodgers has to stay as a running mate?
No, I wouldn't. I'm more interested in the angle of, like, this is what the Jets signed up for. Like, this is this not another distraction? Right?
Total distraction.
They had to be distracted while, you know, you teased coming back with an insane Achilles injury, and all of a sudden you were, like, talking about playing.
I'm good.
Then they fell out, you said, I'm straight, which was probably the smart decision. I don't think there's any question about it. But now, and listen, I know Aaron hasn't confirmed this, so he may not have anything to do with it. However, they will be talking, if it is indeed true, they will be talking about that all season long.
Yeah.
It seems like a bit of a distraction. I don't know. What do you think?
I definitely think it's a distraction. Hey, what do you think about your starting quarterback running for vice president of the United States? I don't know. I think it's weird. Chris, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to him having to miss a Monday night game because he's got to do the vice presidential national debate.
That would be hilarious. I will give it to him. He'll probably debate pretty well if he does do that.
I have no doubt that he would handle himself accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested in it.
Number one.
A former employee of the Jacksonville Jaguars has been sentenced after embezzling $22 million from the team while working with the team from 2018 to 2023. Amit Patel has been sentenced to 6.5 years in prison and must pay more than $21 million in restitution.
How is he going to pay that?
He's never going to pay that.
Well, he stole $22 million, Tony, so
yes,
he's plus one at the end.
Don't give that guy a head start. He had pled guilty in court to felony charges of wire fraud and illegal monetary transactions. Prosecutors had recommended a 7-year sentence. Chris, does the punishment fit the crime?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he needs more. I get tired of white-collar criminals being treated much more softly than, quote, blue-collar criminals.
Yeah.
And I could go more into that, but we're up at the top of the hour. I think white-collar criminals get away with a lot more in general.
I agree.
That sounds like a crime. You $22 million?
All right.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Gotta cut you off, Chris. 5 o'clock on the way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.